Call the East West Gateway Council of Government Board of Directors meeting for Wednesday, February 26th, to order. Can I have a motion for approval of the minutes?
I'm making a motion.
January 29th.
Second.
Been made and seconded. Any discussion or changes? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Discussion items. A is one STL report to the region, Aaron Young.
Morning. My presentation today is a brief annual update on activities and progress of one STL. One STL is a collaboration to create one sustainable region that began in 2010 when East West Gateway and 10 other agencies from both Illinois and Missouri partnered to apply for a grant from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. The partnership was awarded the grant in between 2010 and 2013, created original plans, and built an associated website to store information and supporting documents.
Hey, Aaron.
Yes.
Can you excuse me just a minute? I forgot to do something here. I need to introduce a couple of new members before you go any further. First, the new board member, Robert Marquardt, who's mayor of the city of Union. He's representing Franklin County. Robert, welcome to the group. And the Honorable Robert Eastern, mayor of East St. Louis. Sorry, I forgot that. Continue, please.
After the plan was completed in 2013, and after completion of the plan, the partners reformed into a semi-formal network that includes leadership, communications, and working groups. In 2017, the Downtown St. Louis Business Incubator, CREX, joined the network and now provides space for us to have monthly learning and network events that we call the Sustainability Lab at CREX. The primary drivers of one STL, however, are one STL working groups, which are working to implement the goals, objectives, and strategies laid out in the plan, and then they evaluate their impact to assess performance indicators that they set targets for. In your packet today, we included the one STL annual brochure that summarizes the information that I'm going to talk about today. So if I don't cover it, please refer to that book. Also in that brochure is a two-page insert that includes a snapshot of 57 indicators that East West Gateway monitors that were identified during the planning process. Some general trend with those indicators is that the economy is improving, but with more economic activity, there is an associated increase in travel times and vehicle miles traveled. As you know, equity in the region is not improving. Concentrated poverty is decreasing, but there is still a lack of change in affordable housing and access to health care, and the income gap is continuing to increase. And cities are taking action on climate change with plans on renewable energy and climate adaptation, as well as becoming storm ready, adopting complete streets, and becoming tree cities. Some activities that the network is engaging in. At the Sustainability Lab at T-Rex is our primary event. We had events across the region, including in St. Peter's and Alton, Illinois. Altogether, 500 attendees came to our Sustainability Lab. We covered informational topics on food, environmental justice, renewable energy. And we also partner with other organizations to bring content to T-Rex, including Singularity University, the Green Building Council, and the American Climate Association. The One STL Network has also increased their presence on social media and is bringing across a lot of information and new and learning experiences through social media. The working groups meet regularly, most of them meet once a month. And the network is also planning a regional sustainability summit to be held in November of this year at a location yet to be determined, but it will be after the East West Gateway annual meeting. I'll end with a slide on our working groups. This is just to point out across that One STL is not an East West Gateway initiative. It is a collaboration. Our working groups are being run by and involved with several other organizations from across the bi-state area. The full plans of what these groups are trying to accomplish over the next year are in the brochure, and I'm happy to answer any questions now or at a future point if you have questions about the annual report.
Thank you, Aaron. Any questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Discussion item B, MetroLink system-wide security assessment. Ray Scott.
Hello, and thanks for having me back to wind up with a final report on this project that you all funded. I'll walk through the different elements of what this program included and give you some information about the outcomes of the work that was provided. So just to remind you, this is a phase two. The phase one was an assessment, and unlike what you read in the paper, the phase two was not more assessment. We spent the second phase working to implement the recommendations out of phase one. So there are several elements of progress that were developed over the time of phase two. I'm going to talk about those. Some of the activities that we did was determining vision and objections for the security strategy for Metro. We did some work on and research on implementing an all-hazards approach and what kind of training is required for employees and participants in the security program. We did several workshops. All of that was to develop a comprehensive security program that has already been implemented, that is already beginning implementation within the MetroLink Bi-State program. And out of that, we're hoping that the strategy, which is encompassing a new paradigm for security, will be effective and implemented across the region. Previously, in an update that I gave this board, we talked about the security vision. It details several elements that we're looking at, as well as goals and objectives out of those elements. They cover everything from communication to rules compliance, effective staffing, as well as the strategy, a strategic look at security. So two major documents or activities that came out of this implementation phase was the first is development of a security strategy. This is a strategic direction to move the Metro security program in a way that meets the region's needs. There are four major elements: security, which we talked about, which is reducing the rate, the perception, and the vulnerability to crime. So just trying to bring that crime element down. Fair enforcement, something that was discussed throughout the program as being a critical element. We view that as a security tool. Security awareness and involvement. This is how do we get everybody involved in understanding the criticality of security on the system. That's Metro employees, that's contractors, that's passengers, that's the public. And then this implementation of a strategic systems approach, which bases what happens on the system as far as the security program on actual data and incorporates several elements of managing that data. So there is a strategy document. It is a public-facing document. It doesn't give a lot of details, but it addresses this general strategic approach to security. And again, we are set to sign that document in a venue downstairs following this meeting. Another activity that we've engaged in is developing a security plan. The region is required to have one, both by TSA and under the state safety oversight rule. There has been a plan. It was not very reflective of what the agency was doing. So we have completely rewritten the plan following the strategy. It is more tactical in nature. It talks about a lot of the operational elements of implementing security. You can see some of the major components there. I think the major additional piece I want to mention is that it is security sensitive. It will not be a public-facing document. It will not be passed out to this or anybody because it has a lot of tactical information about security in the system. So just as other security pieces are closed-hold, that one will also be closed-hold document shared with law enforcement and security forces only. want to remind you of a couple things. There have been a lot of conversation in the media and other places about security staffing. I want to remind you of the status, and this is all information that came out of one of the reports that was commissioned as part of the first phase. But there is a lot of security on the system. Back in, at least when this data was done, 235 persons on the Metro system, across that system, and they were all armed. And if you remember, it wasn't working very well. And you can see on the board some comparisons to other systems that are similar in nature. And you notice other systems, only law enforcement was armed. Other contracted security or in-house are not armed. And you can also see the numbers, the most relevant being the last number where Metro system had 17 security personnel for every million warnings. You look at the other agencies where they range between, we'll be generous and say 2 and 4 for every million warnings. So obviously the personnel, the resource personnel is not the issue. It wasn't working. That's why we were looking at several issues. We had lots of people policing and not very many people doing security. There was a lot of emphasis on responding to incidents, but not very much emphasis on managing the passengers that rode, taking care of the people that needed to use the system. So the new plan moving forward is this layered concept. It builds on facility designs that follow SEPTEC. It adds an assessment of risk and using data to drive deployment. It takes visible security staff. Actually see a couple of our guys over here in their bright uniforms. That would be across the system in both the contracted and the TSS level, where they will be seen and see, and they will be engaging with customers with a very customer-focused agenda. Add that with some technology that acts as staff multipliers. We then take our law enforcement partners, who will then be across the system, both as primary responders, and then we have a lot of secondary employment, part-time law enforcement that have been added. And then we also get data out of the state and federal to give us this full area of security, from deter, delay, detect, respond, recover. That's what security, when it is its best, does for a system. Other deliverables under this program were some of these white papers I talked about, the workshops where we work through data, we work through deployment strategies, we work through roles and responsibilities to get people to stay in their lanes. And at the end of this week, we'll be doing a tabletop to practice several of those activities. Metro has made great progress. As you know,
excuse me a second. Can you go back to the, what is it, the gun issue on
this
the floor? You know, guns are not security and so on. I don't know what the law is in Illinois and Missouri. The state legislature preempted that issue. Is there an exception that Metro can come under to deny people taking guns on the train?
Okay, this is not about taking guns on the train. This is about whether the staff will be armed or not, not whether it has nothing to do with your state law. This is whether we are providing security staff that are armed or security staff.
So the state law would still allow people to take the gun on a train?
I can't speak to your state law. Yes, I believe it is your state law.
No, actually it is not. At the present time, guns are not allowed on Metro. Talby, is that, that's correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Currently, yes. It's not on a transit facility.
Okay, so right now, no one's supposed to have a gun on a train?
Correct.
Okay. A lot of police officers.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't aware if it came under one of those exceptions or not. Thank you.
The policing contracts have been signed. There is a new revised contracted security that will start in April. It is a very different scope. You will see very different activities coming out of that contracted security provider. There's a security program that has changed. We introduced those gentlemen to you before. and they are totally aligned with the strategy. Partner communication has improved dramatically. Law enforcement and Metro staff work together to work through deployment, to work through strategies, to agree on what's happening across the system. We are moving to a much more flexible and mobile model where people will be on and off the trains, on and off the platforms with fixed. Sorry, my time's up. Fixed post in areas where there are a lot of problems, but it'll all be driven by and then we have a new refinement of the in-house model. We see the new types of uniforms, which will make them very visible. And we have clearly defined roles and responsibilities to avoid the conflicts that drove some of the problems early on. You all have a scorecard. The scorecard is the newest update. This is a revision. This will be done quarterly. But this was Gateway as a third party. There has been progress, and it's indicated on the scorecard. And we only expect better progress as these other initiatives proceed. And with that, that's my presentation.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
Who's going to take part in the tabletop?
Tabletop is all internal. Though we have invited our law enforcement partners, the focus of the tabletop is do the different layers of security understand what they would be doing if a scenario is presented, and how do other partners get informed of what's happening. It's the first of what we're recommending is several tabletops or drills to expand that, but right now we want to just start with the group that wrote the strategy to try to test to see if we had it correct, basically.
Thank you.
Is there any...
Mr. President?
Yes, I had a question. Has this security agreement been approved by the full bi-state board?
Which agreement are you speaking on?
This is the agreement that's going to be signed.
The strategy document?
Yes.
The strategy document has
It was presented to the security subcommittee yesterday, actually, and the security, they did vote to move it on to the full board. The board has been briefed, just like this entity, several times by Lorraine and her team, and of course, me as well. That's where we are right now.
Is there any funding that's going to be allocated to local municipalities to help with policing, anything like that?
The conversation that we've had today, and Kevin Scott, who's managing the field security, I don't know about the funding piece, but there is at least to start, because this hasn't been the reach out to local municipalities to talk to them about what parts of the system are within their jurisdiction, and at least get them part of that conversation. The funding piece, I do not know about. Sorry.
Yeah, a couple questions. Father Ray, thank you. I know this is not easy. It's undaunting, but your courage is unflappable. I appreciate that. The questions I have, I saw a report last night on the news saying that only law enforcement officers and security of the system will have firearms.
That's correct.
So the security officers that did have firearms will not be allowed to have.
New chief for us contract is asking for unarmed security guards.
And the strategic subcommittee says that's the best way in which to proceed.
Let me give you some. It's giving the right people the right tools for what we're asking them to do. And it's definitely the trend in the industry. Understanding tableless is unique in a lot of ways.
Sure.
Bart in Chicago and Lamont et al. Added unarmed security to be more of a customer-focused first layer of security, leading with the law enforcement to carry that last piece of being armed and being responsive to incidents.
The other question, I don't know if you can get back to it, but that slide that shows ridership and number of security.
The numbers?
Yes. So we are currently at 13.6 million in ridership, and noticeably, the The next closest is Sacramento with 22.3 million. The difference in, I guess, security or insecurity, however you want to look at it, has there been a study done as to volume equating to a safer system? I find that my experiences on the various systems is that the more folks that utilize, the safer the system is, because you have more witnesses, more people with which to lean upon, as we so often do in our society.
Absolutely. I mean, that would be one of the pieces of growing your system back. There's a lot of reasons why the ridership has declined. Sacramento is a case in point. They also have had a drop in ridership previously and have started to come back that direction. It does help with the safety of the system. So definitely there's a whole discussion about outreach.
So there is validity to that.
Yes, there is.
More the safer.
We're pretty safe in here because there's a lot of people here.
Sometimes. With that, there's a lot of media in here, so we're with that, though, is there currently something underway to, arm folks and security and have all we want? There's still going to be bad and good in the world. What is being done currently to increase ridership? That being minimize fares, get more people on to use the system, and then work into it.
I can't, it's a little outside my lane, and I hate to do too.
Understood, I'm not trying to be honest about this, it's your name.
But I will say that there was discussions even within our group about having conversations with passengers and riders and the public about the efforts around security. So if that's the issue that's holding people back, at least they're understanding what these initiatives are about. And that might be the encouragement they may need to try it one more time, whatever that looks like. That's strictly within my security kind of view. So I don't know what other ridership issues are being addressed, and I don't know how you want to address.
If I'm nature?
Yes.
Very clear, thank you for the question. So of course, the very first thing that both this body and the public demanded of us is to fix security and get ourselves lined up and appropriately figured out. And what I hope is that what you're hearing from WSP is that we are on the way to doing that. Remember, with our three professional police departments, they are literally embedded into this process. This is a collaborative process where we're leaving policing to police, but then we're moving into the security realm. Okay, we're working on that everyday experience, trying to deal with nuisance behavior and some of those things that don't just make our system safe, but comfortable. So now we move into, with today's signing, which is a huge victory for us, and could not happen without everybody in this room, we get to talk with one voice, and I get to credibly say, this is a security plan that involves the community. And with that, I'm hoping that that's when we then turn to go back and build our ridership. Tell our folks, tell your citizens that the MetroLink that has its act together, it's safe, we're moving forward.
Yes, Mr. President.
Just going back to my first question, so I think we've established this has not been approved by the full bi-state board, and I think it should be. Number two, just what I'm aware of prior to this meeting was that the commissioner on the bi-state board, Derek Cox, was interviewed by Elliot Davis, and the point that he made is, do we really feel safer with the contracted security not carrying firearms? And he made the point, no, he doesn't feel safer, he feels less safe. And I think I think that still is a question in my mind.
He felt safe with those contracted security officers being armed, right? Not sure to say to you, because most of them were a little scary. I found guns sitting on seats, we found guns not being managed, we found a lack of cohesiveness, and even if you thought that somehow I'm just telling you that is not the trend. That's not what we heard from the ridership. It's not the guns that they felt kept them safe. It was the presence of people paying attention to them. So we addressed the presence of people paying attention to them by doing a customer-focused group that isn't worried about running to the response and getting in law enforcement's way, leaving the firearm issue to those that actually need that tool, giving our other layers of security the proper tools for what they're doing, I think is what is nationally being seen as the right answer. And I talked to Commissioner Fox myself. We had a long conversation. He actually told me that he was seeing more validity in an alternative approach. Not that he was totally on board. This is post. I know he gave that interview. He told me that his constituents expected him to support firearms, and therefore he would. I can't speak to that. I can only tell you that nationally, we are not seeing that more guns makes anything safer. We are seeing the right security. That's not no guns. I'm not anti-gun. That's not the program. The program is give them the right layers so people do the jobs that they're supposed to do. Give the right tools. And that's what we're proposing. So if you want to go back pre-2018, it did not seem to be working, and there were a lot of guns. So either you change the paradigm and try something else, which is what others are doing, and it is working, or you stay where you were and do what you do. I have no other answer for you than to say the best I can give you out of my experience, out of my team's experience, out of the national approach to security is this direction.
I just had a personal experience, and it's a little different. My husband and I were coming back from the airport late at night on Metrolink, and there were some young men jumped on the train panhandling, and they looked a little rough, so my husband emptied all the change out of his pocket. And I know personally, we felt that would have been better, because there weren't many people on the train, if there had been personnel on there. So we made a personal decision. We're not using the Metrolink if we're coming back at 11 o'clock at night from the airport. We'll figure something else out. So that was just one incident, one time, one snapshot. But I think no personnel would make people feel more secure.
And that's what we heard. We heard over and over, we like to ride up by the operator, the driver, because there's somebody on board. And it had nothing to do with the operators not armed. They'll ride by a Metro employee. It was staffing over and over. Get us people on the trains, get us people on the platforms, make them visible, make them friendly, make them helpful. That was the factor that seemed to be the most prevalent from hundreds of interviews that we did with people that are riding the trains.
Any other questions, comments?
Steve.
Anyone? Oh, yeah. Mayor?
Do you expect under this program that there will be a staff person on every train and on every platform?
They will be moving throughout the system. It means you might get on train without one, yes, but they will be on and off. We're working at a deployment model where they are moving through the system on and off the platforms, minimizing the time where you don't have anybody, but keeping people in the trains, far back, maybe on a consist, which is the two parts together. May not be on both cabs or both cars of that consist. We're trying to maximize the visibility of them. I'm not going to say every time there's a turnaround, there will be a person right there, because at that moment, we haven't figured out how to cover that space. But you will be seeing them much more frequently on those spaces than you are now.
And do you expect those individuals to intercept and manage behavioral issues on the train?
We do.
And they're trained to handle
that? That's the training that they're being required. The new contract of security is being required to undergo training that addresses disorderly conduct, addresses de-escalation of incidents, and then also what is their appropriate response if it starts to move outside of their sphere being able to handle it. How do they get the help that they need?
And how do they?
We have an escalation process of who they can call and how they get that response in. And that's part of our law enforcement piece. That's also part of these part-time law enforcement officers that are being brought onto the system. So there are actually additional officers that will be moved into the system. They're not full-time, they're part-time through a secondary contract. And so there is a way of that we're working through, which is part of the tabletop, to practice that. to keep that response time down to a point that it's appropriate.
So that protocol's still being developed?
We're still continuing it. We don't have the new contractor on board yet. Fine-tuning with the old contractor. We're developing the processes and procedures, but a switch will have to be made.
And what about the radio communication between? I mean, radios have been, and I think continue to be, an issue between all of our police departments and Metro Security.
They now can all talk point to point. They have that capability. They are connected, especially on the Missouri side. There's still work to be done on the single PSAP. And again, Talby, do you want to speak any further to that?
So we don't, the goal being a single PSAP, I'd love to move to that. So that would be a full dispatch capability among all three police departments. We don't have that yet. That's a complicated negotiation, and just have been unable to drag that across the board line. But in the interim, we did light up the point-to-point communications on the Missouri side, and also right now, St. Clair County, their MetroLink patrol, they get on with their existing radios and monitor the OCC channel that we have, so that kind of communication is being done on a dispatch-to-dispatch basis. So the communications have improved vastly. Are we at to the point that would be the goal? No, we're not there, but we are much better than we were essentially a year ago today.
Thank you.
As a commissioner on the Bi-State Board, I appreciate Ray and I co-chaired the subcommittee, and to answer Mr. Fredwood, each commissioner has been fully brought up to speed on this in numerous times. We've had numerous presentations by the Ray and her staff as recently as yesterday. And I got to say, I think that what they've done has been an excellent job. And when the Security Committee received the information that was provided to us on some of the things Lorraine has mentioned here today, on the armed and unarmed is what is really driving that force. We talked yesterday in the open meeting about police officers, the amount of training they are required to have above and beyond what security officers are. So when you lay all that out, the law enforcement part of it is what we're looking at. And then the security part, you got to keep those two separate. And I think that's what this is showing. Thank you.
Any other questions? Last one then. Just a little bit about the process. East West Gateway oversaw the study, is that correct?
That's correct.
And about how long did it take?
This is the second phase. It's about a year.
And did you have hearings where people could come in and present information?
In the first phase, we did a lot of public involvement. We went out to different groups as well as open spaces where people could come and get comments. That's where we came up with the 99 recommendations based on both surveys that we did as well as meetings we held with all sorts of entities and open meetings. And
so those were all open meetings where people could come in and participate. And then it looks like you looked at what a lot of other places are doing. I assume we did that in-house here.
We did a peer
with
review.
The data that's available.
That's available. And then the second phase was mostly the implementation. We did work mostly with our law enforcement partners and the jurisdictions to implement the recommendations that came out of Facebook.
Right. And that's the critical point here. This is what you studied. This is the recommendation East West Gateway has made. But the final decision is up to the three entities and Bi-State.
Which is the outcome of the study.
That's where they can ignore this, they can accept it. You're just providing them the information.
We provided them and then helped them build the strategy together as a group.
Okay, and I think that's an important part, and that's a good segue to our next topic.
Yeah, well, real quick on this too. I mean, our contract with WSP ends at the end of this month. That's why we're bringing in the wall also to see what we can use as to what's been going on. Also,
like then it's this week?
Yeah, like next week, yeah. Or this weekend, yes. So the second piece is there is a signing ceremony on the third floor immediately following this meeting. So, County Executive Page, County Board Chair Kern, and Mayor Cruz will be down there for the signing. You're all invited.
Next, Number four, action items. A, St. Louis International Airport. Jim, make a presentation.
Yeah, Mary, Mary's getting ready. At the last meeting, based on consensus, the board told staff to go back, figure out a scope of, potential scope of work for this effort. And in doing so, we did a survey, got some information back. It was a really quick turnaround. We were asked to turn it around by this month. So in doing that, we did present to the Executive Advisory Committee a proposed study scope. And I'll let Mary talk about the survey a little bit, what we found out, and then I'll explain where we are.
Thank you. So we did send out a survey to about 90 individuals, including yourselves, your Executive Advisory Committee, the business, some regional leaders in the business community, as well as nonprofit organizations, and the St. Louis Lambert Airport commissioners. We received about 39 responses, and I'd like to point out that this is not a scientific poll, but it did research a diversity of responses from throughout the region and from people from those different categories of entities we tried to reach out to. And so our purpose was not really to gauge the entire general public or really do that scientific poll, but was really to take a pulse of the regional leadership on if they thought a study of Lambert was important at this time, and if so, what to include in the scope of such a study, and what would they expect the outcomes of a study. So these are eight questions we asked. I'm going to go over these all in detail. The report that you have in front of you really does that. And that report provides a summary overall, which is kind of what I'm going to do today, just quickly go through that. And then there's also a question-by-question summary of the comments that we received. Appendix A provides responses as stated by the commenters, and Appendix B actually provides you the survey tool itself. So the first question we ask is if, how important do you consider a study of Lambert at this time? Vast majority of almost all of the responses, 38, said that it was at least somewhat important, with over half saying it was very important. The second question asks how important it is to include the following 14 items in the scope of a study of Lambert. We're not surprised that a lot of these came up. The lowest, at least 87% of people said all of them were somewhat important. At least somewhat important. And we're not surprised that this came out because we picked these up from discussions that were had. So these were things that we thought people would expect to see in the scope of a study. And these, this at the top of the list are the one that received the most very significant or very important responses. And you'll see those first three, four at the top are really what I think one of the things that came out of this is people really want this common set of facts to understand. To have this discussion and to understand and make decisions based off of. The other one is the third one up there is more around economic development. And this is another thing that we see in a lot of the comments, a lot of the questions, is what is around this economic impact of Lambert Airport. The next question was, what do you see as Lambert's most significant challenges? And again, this is the same order. The one at the top received the most very significant responses, and that's unused capacity. So this is both the unused capacity of the airport itself, as well as the land around the airport. Again, that kind of ties in with that economic impact theme that we saw throughout the response. The last slide, and the report does go into this in more detail, but for the sake of time, I'm just going through this pretty quickly. This print of the themes, the comments that we received, we organized into these theme areas of things that we're seeing people say. Again, the like many comments about, and so the first three really have to do with the economic impact. So there's really a desire to see a recognition that the airport is a regional asset. That desire to make sure that we're using that to its full potential and really getting economic activity for the entire region. In the same token, there is a recognition that it's important to be intentionally inclusive as we realize any of this additional economic activity at the airport. There were many comments about the need to understand alternative governance structures and if there is a potential to have a different governance structure that may give the airport more visibility to create additional economic activity for the region. At the same time, there were many comments from people in the city and outside the city, recognizing the importance of the city as the owner of the airport. It's important to include the city have a lead role in any such study, and that any outcome of a study or any implementation is also fair to the city. The rest of these are all very important as well, but just to kind of sum them up, and they're going to be in more detail in the report, people see the need for a transparent, inclusive process. There's a desire to know the impact of the airport on local communities currently and if any changes are made. There's also a desire to see additional issues, challenges, and assets brought into the discussion. There's things that people see as additional items that need to be discussed regionally. And then also, there is this, as I mentioned before, there's this common theme of people just wanting to know kind of some basic facts about about the airport and its potential. And so I think that was really the leading thing that comes out of this, is people really want more information on how much to have these discussions. I'm happy to take any questions today or in the future.
So in the interest of, go ahead. In the interest of
any questions?
I don't have a question.
Okay, well, let's let them finish then, and then we'll go to you first.
Okay. So on Monday, we sent a memo out to the board that took the information that we heard from the Executive Advisory Committee, what we had gotten through the survey, and we tried to synthesize that down. As I mentioned before, we had 10 items that we thought we were hearing through the study that were worthy of looking at. Monday morning, we learned that business community here in St. Louis is willing to help fund an expanded facilities plan out of the airport. And as a result, some of that work would be duplicative of the 10 items we had kind of called out. So we took 4 of those items out of that 10. So staff was looking at that point a proposed study of items for review and research of stakeholders, airport finances, economic impact of the airport and the region, and economic impact on surrounding communities, or impacts on surrounding communities, coordination with other airports, and then governance options. And we outlined an approach in that memo. I think you all received that. Noting that participation buy-in by the city is critical to the success of the effort. Want to be transparent and open. Some of the topics have been addressed in other reports, and as a result, we're going to use those as a basis for moving ahead. We didn't want to be reinventing the wheel. Much of the work being done with our existing staff, and we can do it with within our existing Unified Planning Work Program. And where we needed consultants, we would be able to use PL funds, planning funds through USDOT to help support that. And then finally, on the approach, that no plan for final recommendations would be coming from this study. Rather, a slate of options that will be presented to the elected leaders and consider at the conclusion of the process. And then we spelled out the process, establishing a committee, reviewing past studies and literature, interviews with key stakeholders, then a second kind of as an initial phase of work to help inform where we would go from there. And then it would be reviewing of the finances and the economic impact and impact on surrounding communities, coordination with other airports and regional governments. So staff at that time was recommending that the board endorse the proposed study items for review and research, the approach and the process, and authorize the executive director to commence work on the effort. The procurement of consulting services would come to the board as separate items in the future if we determine we will need that. Yesterday, I received from President Reed a letter that he asked that I distribute to the board, and I sent that out last night after I got back into the office. and hopefully you all received that. If you didn't receive it, we do have copies of that for you. You've got copies too. So I think obviously that's worthy of conversation.
Just for the record, we talked about this initially at the last meeting, and it was some at that point that wanted to go ahead and just proceed. And if you remember, what we decided to do was to go ahead and give it to Jim to go ahead and do this type of analysis and actually come back with a proposal. I just want to congratulate him and the staff. I think what they gave us here is very thoughtful and reflects some of the discussion that has been going on the last month and trying to come up with things that that maybe East West Gateway is qualified to offer an opinion on, and then other areas where the city itself, having run the airport, is the best source of information. So I just want to thank you for working with everybody on that and try to come to an accommodation. And I hope that meets with everyone's approval, but we'll see. Mr. President.
Not Mayor Winston, person.
Oh, okay.
So Jim, thank you for the work and Mary for the work that you've done on this. I'm going to say that, you know, we just got this. First of all, we had a one-page scope document a few days ago. And then I think it was yesterday morning we got this revised scope here. And I think that one day is not enough time to consider the extensive scope that still remains at least five of your bullet points in this document. I also think that particularly when you're talking about governance and you're not looking at other airports, you're just looking at how to take something that's owned by the city and figure out how other people can govern that, I don't think that's appropriate. I think that if we are going to study governance, which is something that we will certainly study at some point, we got to have Mid-America in there, we got to have the St. Charles Airport in there, we got to have Spirit. We're going to talk about governing a regional airport, then certainly the focus can't only be on Lambert or St. Louis Lambert. The other thing I would say is that I think the staff probably hasn't had time to review the information that is out there yet, and to me, reviewing what is out there first is very important. I just brought a couple of props here. There are, as I mentioned last month, there are hundreds of documents on the Fly 314 website for anybody who wants to educate themselves about the airport, its finances, the meetings, the plans that are out there currently. This is a 350 or 60 page document that would be a starting point certainly for anything, and if you haven't reviewed this, you know, to form a new stakeholder committee, which you suggested that you would do, and begin trying to talk about what people think about the airport is way premature because the folks doing the studying haven't studied what's out there. So there's this report that's out there. And this is an interesting one, that's the reason I brought it. This was an economic impact study done by Unison. This was in 2013, so certainly in the last 7 years things have changed. But this is essentially the financial impact of the airport at that time on the region. That would be a basic document to start with. And then what's going on now, and this is the airport is currently under contract with WSP to do a facilities assessment. The cost of that facilities assessment is $4.1 million. And then the first modification of it is let me restate. $4.1 million is the airport layout plan update, and then the facilities assessment is another $1.2 or $3 million. So this scope right here, which has not started, is a $5.5 million scope of work being undertaken by the airport. As we speak, this is about to kick off. So I think that there's a lot of technical information about the airport, and I think the East West Gateway staff is very, very capable, but I don't know that they are airport experts, and nor am I, by the way, an airport expert. But I do think that there's a lot of information that has to be considered, and what you're proposing to do with people that are in-house, they're going to have to learn all about airports, and they're going to have to do a lot of study before they're even in a position to prepare a report about the airport. So I also think that you can see this is probably $10 million worth of work right here in this little pile. So we've got before us a study that's got no cost, no dollars at all, but it's going to cost something. I just don't know what that's going to be, but it's not $50,000 or $100,000 or two, you know. It's, if you're going to do it right, it's going to be a big number. So I think that if East West Gateway is going to embark on this, there's a lot of homework that should be done first. Then, based on that homework, you'd be much better prepared to write a scope. This document right here, this is just the scope of work document and the fees for what the airport is currently undertaking with the ALP update and the facility assessment. That's what, this is the scope document for that. So, you know, I can't get from this, which is $5.5 million, to a couple of pages here, which is no money, and think that this is going to work out well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I want to first thank you for this time and holding off on the issue until this meeting. I appreciate that, and which is why I've always called you a friend. I think that you've done well by giving us time when we've asked for it. So I'd like to pass these out just to assure that everybody has a copy of the information taken on and passed on in there. Second, the first item that you'll have is a copy of my letter to you that I asked you to get out to every member. And in that letter, I outlined a number of concerns. The major concern in this letter covers a document that was gotten by the NAACP, correspondence between various different people and the former mayor of the city of St. Louis, Vince Shamel. Vince Shamel, when he was the mayor, I don't think it's any secret to anybody that some of his tactics and the way he operated created a major divide between people of color and himself. Right? And you can see in the letter, in the correspondence that he sent to some members of this body, he's still using that same type of race-baiting approach to addressing these types of issues. Now, I've sat on this board for a little over 13 years, longer than most of the members here, Brian, Kern, and Kelman, and a couple others. And one of the things that I've always appreciated about this board is that it has done a good job of wading through and showing deference to racial issues when they come up. So what we have before us today is this issue with the underpinnings of Vince Shamel pushing it from the hop. And I think that that's clear by the email that he sent out and some of the other activities he's been involved in since then. But I want to make it clear to everybody what the type of language he used in this letter means to have a good work, where he says, the black alderman, you have to be very careful about your approach to the black alderman, because they see the airport as their heritage. When you talk to them, there's two things you need to do. You need to take them out to a dinner, stroke their ego, and they'll come on along with no questions asked. Now, here's what that looks like through the eyes of an African American. When I was growing up, my mother, we had our German Shepherd. Her name was Trixie. Trixie could be temperamental sometimes. But if we were leaving town, my mother would give some instructions to our neighbors on how to care for Trixie. And my mother told, remember my mother telling a neighbor, she said, well, first you have to feed Trixie. And then when you feed Trixie, you have to rub her right here between the eyes. And then you can put the leash on Trixie and take Trixie anywhere you want to take Trixie. So as an African American, when we see this kind of language, what that says is that forget about giving us the facts, forget about talking to us about the details and the legitimacy of what you're trying to achieve. Just feed us and stroke our ego. And then put a collar on us and a leash on us and we'll go anywhere you want to go. Now, here's the thing, for members here, you know, a lot of you have known me for a lot of years. And I ask you, when have you seen me ever come forward and call things, something out like this, something racial issue out like this, as raw as I am today? I'm telling you, that should say something to you. That should say something to you. That should say that this is a major issue. This is an issue that will blow up on us as sure as night follows day. So, I cannot tell you enough about how important it is to have a pause at this point. I can tell you this, the African American Aldermen at the City of St. Louis are organizing right now, and we're gonna get a response from them, right? I can tell you to get something like this done, you need a couple things. You need a vote of the Board of Aldermen, and you're gonna need the Board of ENA. Two of the three members are sitting on this commission today and we're telling you that this is a problem and we're not supporting it moving forward. I'm telling you, as the chairman of the Board of Aldermen, who has to balance issues across all spectrums, that if we move forward today, we have increased the level of difficulty by this thing 1,000-fold. And I have a problem with that. I cannot support it moving forward. And I would tell you also, in this article, another thing that's just so telling, if you look at that, the article from the Post-Dispatch. So what former Mayor Shane took issue with in my letters, he took issue with two things. He said, Team 4 plan came before I came in office. And the debt on the airport, I'm not responsible for it because that debt came after I left office. Now here's the thing that's so telling, is that the principal issue within my letter calling out the racist view and the racist approach that he's advocating, he didn't say not once that it wasn't racially motivated. He didn't say that race didn't play, he didn't take up that issue at all. And here's the thing, if you cannot recognize that, that in and of itself is a problem. Also have with us, also joining us today is the chairman of the NAACP who's doing a deep dive in this, and with the chairman's approval, I'd like to hear from the chairman of the NAACP.
Well, let's are you making a motion?
I'm asking that the chairman of the NAACP just give us a quick update on what their plans are moving forward. I haven't had the chance.
Are you anticipating others to give them the same opportunity?
If you would like me to, I'm okay with it.
I don't know. What's in the past?
It's up to the chairman.
If it's up to the chairman, I'm fine.
Thank you.
I just want to know whether we have to have a vote of the council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you could go to the guys over here to the mic. So
Chairman of the Commission, my name is Adolphus Pruitt. I'm the president of St. Louis City NAACP. I'm the most senior leader of NAACP in this region by virtue of my tenure as president for more than 10 years in St. Louis City. I communicate on an ongoing basis with my colleague, both the president of the St. Charles County NAACP, the St. Louis County NAACP, the president of the East St. Louis NAACP, and then often in other branches. And actually, the survey is what I'm reading a sentence about the survey is it reached out and talked to nonprofits and other community organizations where Mr. Chairman, the National Association for the Advancement of the Colored People is the largest civil rights organization in the country. And our footprint here is represented in each one of the areas in which you serve in your capacity, and we have probably more members than any other nonprofit or civil rights organization in this region. And none of us were allowed, received, or asked to be part of any survey of this nature. And that is the problem we have on an ongoing basis, because we are looked at as if we are invisible. Mr. Chairman, we're here. We have a stake in everything that goes on. We have a stake in all the decisions you make. But again, this survey did not include us. I doubt it includes many people of color in this region. That's a problem. It has been a problem we've had with regionalism for a long time, for a very long time. The issue that President Reed raised, that Ben Shamel wrote, and many other emails and text messages and other things we received, all speak to this appetite of African Americans are second-class citizens. We are not capable of having intelligence to participate in the discussions and the dialogues and the decision-making that organizations like yours take on all the time. You know, I found it ironic that when we start talking about regional access, well, BJC, I think, is a regional asset, maybe we ought to take governance of it. The casinos, based on the tax revenue that they put into each one of you all, calling or regional assets, maybe we ought to talk about governance of them. I mean, if we start picking and choosing what we decide to be regional assets and what decide we're going to have governance on, or if we're going to attack the issue of transportation. I have many members would love to take MetroLink to St. Charles County and out to Chesterfield. That's not going to happen, and we understand why. The issues that are being raised today are issues that we ought to have a seat at the table and be a part of the discussion, and we represent the constituency that, again, seems to be invisible from these discussions, and all we ask to be a part of the discussion and have some input. I appreciate your time, President Reed. I appreciate you asking that I have an opportunity to speak. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them, but again, I appreciate the time you can.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Okay, Mayor, I think you wanted to go next.
Sure. So I have a question, Mr. Wild. So that we're all clear and we're all talking about the same thing. My understanding is the recommendation is that we're not going to have a recommendation come out of this. This is a fact-finding study, so to speak. Correct?
Yeah, correct.
So we're not in the process of making, this is not establishing a decision-making process to say this is how we need to proceed. Correct?
Correct.
And I think that we get lost in that because conversation is, it sounds like a lot of the objections are that we're proceeding with making a decision, but we're really just doing more fact-finding. And I can tell you from my own grad research, the exciting thing about having all that research already done is, I'm sure they're going to use that work product as part of their research. It's already done, or at least a lot of it already is. So we're not talking about repeating research, correct? I mean, I would assume your people are going to go out and find work that's been done, too. That will be all part of the fact-finding mission, right?
Yeah, so in the process, the first phase was going through all the materials that have been produced as well as we can. I think we identified about 6 months to accomplish that, synthesize that however we could, and use that to inform the second.
So, I mean, it seems to me that that's, and it is great that the city and the airport has already undertaken a number of studies, I think, unless everyone around the room is going to read that big stack that you have there, Madam Mayor, we probably should, but it sounds like the part of that is going to be extracting the information that we're concerned about from those studies. Is that a fair assessment?
I mean, again, we were asked by the board to go back or go out, look at what could be potentially studied and come back with a process for that. And we thought from a standpoint of trying to make sure everybody had all the right information, all the same information, I guess I should say, and sharing that, that's what we proposed.
I mean, I think it'll be very educational for not only members of this board, but obviously other stakeholders in the region have that information, which is why I think we should go forward with this. I will say, and I, in deference to Mr. President Reed, I do share your frustration with the comments that were made by former Mayor Schemmel. Personally, I think that I can understand why you'd be upset. I would be upset too. And I feel that this is an unfortunate assessment by a political operative, former political operative of St. Louis, about what he feels is the political situation in St. Louis. That's his opinion, but I don't think it should taint this process or this board or anybody else, because I don't think anybody on this board, I doubt anybody on this board necessarily agrees with his, or hope anybody on the board agrees with his assessment. I certainly don't. And I think as we talk about a decision-making process going forward, we need to make sure that we are very inclusive. And of course, when we talk about identifying stakeholders through this process, my friend Adolphus, here we go. Well, Adolphus and others in the region certainly should be part of that, the decision-making process. But I think this process right here, we're really talking about identifying stakeholders. We're talking about identifying processes going forward, and what an effect finding mission sets. I think it's very important that we do this. I mean, we've already, the city's already undergone a similar process, strictly as it pertains to privatization, which I believe you both supported. So, I mean, this is not going down a specific path towards any option, but rather exploring those options. I think that's true.
Mr. Chairman, let's just see if anybody else wants to go first. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, Mayor Knowles, I don't know how often you all have done studies where the end result of a study was not to inform a position or inform some forward movement. Right? So let's just be clear that if we're doing a study, and hopefully you all aren't advocating a study to just sit something on the shelf and say, oh, that's done, you've got that, wash your hands. It's to inform a position. It's to stake out territory, right? And it's clear within, which Brian keep bringing back to the email, Vince Schemmel, trust me, this has not been the only correspondence, and there have been more correspondence since then. He is deeply embedded in this thing. But he says here, if you look at page 2, the 1, 2, 4, third paragraph, the first sentence says, more important than the vehicle is the messaging of the step. I think the message right now is the process is flawed, and we'd like to help straighten out the process. So let's do our own stuff. And that's why we're here today. We're here today to, again, take on this process of doing our own study. And if, my God, if anyone truly believes that we're doing the study just for the heck of it, just to get information, well then I invite you all to go read the information we already have. And if you feel like it's too much information, I'll have my staff, the mayor, have her staff, the city councilor, create an executive summary for it.
Sorry.
Mr. President. Can I just clarify one thing? You were talking about former Mayor Shane was talking about the process in that email. When that email was sent on October 27th, the process he was talking about then was the privatization process.
I understand.
He was criticizing the privatization process, and a lot of people, for different reasons, you know, were concerned about the privatization process. That's what that whole email was about, and you can read into it what you want.
It's
something that was sent to Dr. Page and myself. We didn't respond to it. I guess I need to ask you: do you want to be held responsible for future decisions on emails that people send you? So I think this is an interesting discussion that we need to have about that particular email. But I just don't understand why that should affect somebody's decision on whether or not we want to do any further study of this. And again, just you understand, the final decision is going to be up to the city. Whatever this, you know, just like I said before, we did a study
on what to do on Metro. The final decision is still up to the parties that have a real interest in it, okay? And this would, it would be the same thing whatever comes out of here. And I don't, are you concerned that somehow the rest of us are going to somehow take something away from the city without their consent?
In my opening comments, I said that you're going to need tourism, you're going to need border loans.
Right.
And you're going to need the border DNA.
And we're going to need all the white aldermen to support as much as the African American aldermen.
And here's what I'm here to tell you. I've led this board of aldermen through the uprising in Ferguson and all the protests, the Stockley verdict, and on and on and on and on for the last 13 years. When all of it, if you recognize the board of aldermen, when all those things happened in Ferguson and everything else, Mayor knows when I came to Ferguson to call for calm, for call for orderly, you know, peaceful protest, right? I was there every night, right? So when I'm looking at these things, I'm looking at them from a very educated and a very practical standpoint. And if you recognize what happened at the Board of Aldermen through that process, it didn't divide down factions, African Americans and whites, right? We came together through that process, but we came together through that process by respecting other people's opinion, by respecting and not doing something like what we're talking about here today. If this is done, and here's what I'm asking for is a little respect for the opinions of the rest of the people in the region.
Without any kind of coercion.
Mr. Chairman, you have to allow me to finish.
All right.
If you enter into this under this umbrella, you are dooming this thing. Hopefully everybody knows this is just going to be a waste of time, because anything that comes out of this isn't something that members of the board and members of the ENA will be able to consider. This process is being lit. This whole idea of having our own study comes out of Vince Shaman. And that's why we're here today. And here's the other thing that's really important to remember. There isn't any amount of convincing, and certainly no amount of free meals and patting on the back and telling people they have great shoes or whatever, that will cause any African, the African American aldermen to ever embrace this. So that's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying to you, no matter what, all this other stuff, and you know, to say that we're doing a proposal, just that we're doing this review just to do the review, and it's not going to inform our decisions moving forward, that in and of itself is a problem. I certainly take issue with that, because our staff needs to be doing more things. And if they have that kind of time on their hands, you tell me how much time you have. I can give you a gazillion projects and a gazillion issues in the city that have you looked up right now today.
Well, as of next week, they'll be finished with that link.
If the position today is this is not going to inform any forward moving decisions, it's an absolute complete waste of taxpayer money and a waste of time with the state. And certainly, here's the thing. Doesn't anybody here find it just ironic that the only airport we're looking at is like the St. Louis Airport? Why don't we throw you all at the airport at the same time?
I'd like to go on record saying I'd welcome this organization to analyze the Washington Regional Airport in Warren County, that's owned by Washington, Missouri. I would welcome that. And if I may, and President Reed, I respect you more than you'll ever. But I am here in favor of studying Lambert International Airport as it relates to the economic viability of our region, period. It has nothing to do with the who, what, where. It has everything to do with the single greatest air asset in our region, most impactful asset to our region from an infrastructure perspective. That's the only reason. I knew nothing about your references on this.
If we can provide you with all that information, it would save you a lot of time, right?
Well, absolutely. But and my constituents, as I represent my constituency on this regional board, the questions I get from the users of Lambert is, and I reference them to the 314 website in many cases, which is a great resource. But again, as proposed, that website only exists as a result of Resolution 220 passed by the Board of Aldermen in February of 18. And that's a great tool, a great transparency tool. But I want to state clearly that the only reason I'm in favor of analyzing, utilizing existing studies, as Mayor Noel stated, it is for the betterment of our region as we're all in this together. Not in isolation by any means, and not to take anything away from the city of St. Louis. There's been flippant comments made about $6.7 million a year. They're worried about it getting away. And it's not. I have no desire at all to touch that. I do have a desire to improve what we can improve as being a member of this body and doing it together. Period.
So if I...
Yes, sir.
I'm inclined to think we should pause, like Mr. Reed suggested. One, to include more voices. East West Gateway had a month to solicit voices and just send it out to the mailing list that they had. We should take the time to include more voices and get feedback, I mean, from people, what they would like. Secondly, I would like to see an endorsement from the city itself that this is something that is needed and they want East West Gateway. And finally, there's no mention of a cost. And there is cost, certainly on the part of East West Gateway in terms of their time and their staff. That may be significant. There's no mention of a cost. So I think we should wait on that, on this kind of thing.
Mr. Kern, the main reason we didn't decide this last meeting is you weren't here. We very much need your very mature opinion on things.
So we talked about security study earlier. We look back at history, St. Clair County, St. Louis City, St. Louis County all had officers on the trains and those systems weren't working together. So we as a group came to Gateway with Metro, with Bi-State, and said, hey, let's figure out how we can have this regional governance. And so this was an asked for study that was accomplished and I think is going to be successful, and we've been a part of it the whole time. That is different than what was presented here today. This has not been asked for by the city of St. Louis. It hasn't been asked for by Mid-America Airport. Mid-America Airport is in a different FAA region than Lambert. So that is a difficulty to start with. Second of all, Mid-America Airport is a joint use airport. So the agreement is between St. Clair County and the Department of Defense. I don't think that we could be part of an airport authority anyway, because that agreement has us as a party and the Department of Defense as a party. Nobody here today has said the airport's perfect. I haven't heard anybody. Although I think things are going really well at the airport and they're moving in the right direction, I think that's why studies are being done, to try to take it further. And I respect the city doing that. And there is a regional board that St. Charles County appoints a member to, St. Clair County appoints a member to, that governs Lambert Airport. So there is a regional board in place that is monitoring, that is making recommendations, that the Board of Aldermen and the mayor are all a party to. And so that regionalism already does exist. I think this is the first time that I've ever seen somebody getting information that they didn't really request, that we went in full frontal and said, we think you ought to do a better job, so we're going to tell you how to do that. And I have an issue with that. I'd rather be spending our money fixing up highways, fixing up bridges, and would hate to see that dollars being spent for something that's just going to sit on the shelf. It isn't being embraced by the whole board. And so I'm a no vote today. I think that it would be a mistake to move down this path.
Okay, let's see. Anyone else? Yeah. Council, Mr. Gannon, Chair, Elmer, you know, representing the southern region, southern part of the region, I drive through the city and the county to get to the airport. My corporate citizens do likewise. Now, I have not had anybody in the corporate world come to me and say, hey, because we have a plant out in High Ridge that manufactures highly demanded electronic transformers shipped all over the world, and we have a problem at the airport. But it doesn't mean that we represent 2.5 million people plus or minus at this table. So it's a regional thing, no matter what. President Reed, I'm sorry, but the time that we introduced this thought last month to now, I never thought of a racial, it never entered my thought process.
It wasn't in mind.
And until I received your email, and I was not on the emails that were here, so I never, that never entered my thought. Maybe that's just a regional thing from where I live. I live in southern Jefferson County.
It didn't enter mind.
So, you know, my whole thought process was we need to make it better for the 2.5 million people that live in this region that we all represent. I do support the thought. You know, initially when we started talking about this last month, we were talking about a full scope. And it's been pared down because I suppose that there's going to be a study conducted locally here by the San Luis community. But, you know, indecisiveness on our part and whatever we do as a region will not get us to making our county better, or our county, city, and our region better. I understand the frustration that you may have, feeling that we're pushing something. I think, Mayor, I have not, that's the first time I've seen that. Now, maybe that's my fault, but there's about 5 inches of paper there. There's probably 1,000 pages, there's probably 330,000 words in that stack. I haven't read that. But it doesn't mean that we can't have a committee to kind of, when I came on a year ago as county executive in Jefferson County, I think I asked Steve, I said, Steve, there's so many entities in St. Louis, where do I need to turn if I need somebody to provide guidance? And just look, there's all kinds of agencies. So maybe we need to pause a little bit and say, hey, let's take this big 330,000 words study over here and share it with Tim and Robert, and those of us who are not there, and maybe as a region, it might help us to make better decisions. But, you know, this organization was founded 54 years ago, thereabouts, with the idea of collaboration across seven counties in the city. The dynamics have changed. Jefferson County is not the smallest county being represented at this table there. So, you know, my corporate citizens that I think in High Ridge and southern Jefferson County, they participate in the activities of the airport too. So it can't just, you know, it's all of us. And we all, everyone sitting at this table today, we have homeless problems, we have drug problems, we have everything else. There is just the scope of how big your county is relative to the problem. So I do support the initiative, but I just think it's because we owe it to have a chance to kind of consolidate what we have and have maybe at one time. So I'm sorry, can I ask a question, Mayor? How many different studies or agencies are in that pack?
There's only three here, but that's okay. Not all.
So there's three different competing reports for different parts, maybe not competing, but three different phases of it. You know, maybe we need to have the study take those three and nail them down and say, hey, let's, you know, I know you offered to do an executive summary, but I support your ministry. I know we're on the far end of the region, but we still use it. We still use it.
Chairman, I represent Monroe County, by far the smallest entity here. Once upon a time, back in the 70s, they was going to build an airport in our county. The way it turned out, I'm glad it didn't, because TWA went away. We in our county really want to see Lambert succeed. Again, though, we have Mid-America Airport in our state, and flying out of there is a lot cheaper than flying out of Lambert. But my wife and I want to go to Las Vegas somewhere. I can also fly into Edgewater, Florida, which I have a place on there. So that's where we're at, but right now, you had 800,000 people here in the city of St. Louis in 1950, now you got 300,000. This is a regional airport. It's not a city, it's a St. Louis City Airport. So again, we'd like to see this succeed in our county. Okay?
Thanks, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Jones. In light of the findings of the day and in light of the lack of support from city officials, I'd like to make a motion that we table action item A.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second.
Speak to the question.
Yeah, we'll have more discussion.
Yeah, so this is a consensus-driven organization, East West Gateway, and I don't think we should be embarking on ventures that don't have consensus for our resources. But I do disagree that we should stop thinking about complicated issues because they're racially charged. We're going to go backwards if we do that. And I do believe that we should not be frozen up because former elected official 6 months ago sent an insensitive and unartful and unthoughtful email. That isn't helpful, but it shouldn't paralyze us. This Lambert is a city asset, I understand. It affects us tremendously in St. Louis County. Its relationship with the neighboring municipalities is not working. It's a problem, and we need to get it figured out. And St. Louis County is going to be a part of that conversation somehow. But East West Gateway's participation as an organization of governments, I don't believe should be traveling down a road that there is a consensus on this organization on how to proceed. But I don't accept that St. Louis County doesn't have a role to play in the conversation. And I don't think we should. It's good for our community and our region that we don't address complicated issues that are racially charged, and we need all of our elected leaders to get into that conversation and help us out.
So if I could.
Okay, so anyone else new here?
Yeah,
we're here. Okay, we're going the second round on everybody. Mayor, you're up.
So, you know, I think that there are things that East West Gateway can study and that could be helpful to the process. I don't think at this point East West Gateway knows enough to write a scope of work. I mean, I think the study of what's out there should be done first, particularly if you're planning to do it in-house, Jim, so that the scope of work can be better fleshed out. I mean, you've all gotten scopes of work from folks who are experts in a particular area, and that scope of work lays out exactly what they want to do and where it's headed. And so if we're going to engage East West Gateway to do this, I think East West Gateway has to come up to speed on what's out there so that they can write a scope of work. I mean, the first thing in the proposal that's before us is to, the first thing they're going to do is identify key stakeholder priorities. Well, yes, maybe, but you kind of need to know something about the subject matter. I wouldn't put myself out there doing a study on, I don't know, a road, because, you know, I don't actually know much about technicalities of roads, but you guys do. The next thing you're going to do is review the airport finances. Good, that's a good idea. The next thing you're going to do is analysis of the airport economic impact. But the first thing that has to be done is reviewing the data and the information that is out there so that you can write a more thoughtful scope about what you can study versus what other folks are studying.
If we table this, do you think we could come up with a consensus on scope by the next meeting or 2 meetings?
Well, I would say it's, I don't think you can write a good scope until you've done your homework on the subject.
I understand. That's why we didn't vote last month.
Yeah, so I don't know how long it will take.
Mr. President, do you think we can come to some sort of agreement on maybe a little narrower scope that could get everybody on board here?
And the first thing is there's like three things I have to clarify real quick into both of the, you know, the last three executives that spoke on this issue. I needed to be clear to everybody that it's not just me having an issue and saying, oh, we need to freeze, we need to pause because, oh my God, there's a stone in the middle of the road. What I am doing is advising this commission based on my history of being able to work through these very complex issues and move this board to decision. right? To enter into it just willy-nilly right now today under this banner would be problematic. And I think
okay,
also,
but my question again.
Hold on a second, let me just, and also what County Executive Kern laid out is exactly right, that we have a regional government structure and all these things, right? So I think that is very important to note. And also, we can provide all the commissioners with all of these studies that have been done and all this information. We can also work to open up the data room that has all the original documents that have were collected through the multi-million dollar investment we just made in these documents that were vetted by outside organizations. Right? So multiple eyes looked at these documents and they've been clearly vetted. So we can work to assure that all these commissioners and your appointments to the airport commission can walk right into that data room and get all the information you need.
So the answer is no.
Well, my point is
there's no point tabling this if we can't, you know, work to come to some sort of agreement. Then we ought to just vote it up or vote it down.
Here's where
I'm asking you, is it worthwhile to table this for a month and talk to see if there's something we can agree on?
A better question to me, if you ask me a question, a better question to me is, we're about to spend, I don't know how much money, because nobody said that yet, to embark on a study.
We have to approve any additional.
To embark on a study that's going to take us nowhere. That's kind of what I'm hearing. I'd like to know what it's going to cost and where we plan to land, right? I think those are two very important pieces that we're leaving out here. And it does raise some concern.
All right, I understand.
Because I don't have the answers to give back to the people that are going to have to ultimately come along and work on this thing and embrace it, right? So I need to know where we hope to land. I need to know what the cost of this thing is. That's the first two things I need to know.
Okay, but if we could answer those questions, would you consider us doing some sort of study on some limited basis here, or do you want to just...
Mr. Chairman, we need about a 6-month study on us to get this done. We can't do this in 1 month. I mean, he's got a lot of concerns. I understand that. It needs some time.
But you think time will heal?
I think certainly it's gonna take us a little bit away from this and give you the opportunity to get.
All right. We had some other people wanted to talk a second.
I'm right.
You're third.
Mayor
Knowles. Okay, go ahead.
So that I'm clear, I think to your point, we're. I table this motion, but I mean, I think we need to know if we really are going to go somewhere with this or put it up or down. I mean, Mr. Elmore, I got the impression a moment ago that you were for study, but this would stop the study. Or are you asking?
I understand what you're saying.
Or are you asking to study the study?
Study the study. You can't do this in 1 month. No way.
Push the reset button and allow at some later date. Yeah. For someone to bring this up again in front of the board and put it on the agenda.
Absolutely. One of the things that I continue to hear people complain about is the lack of engagement of shareholders, it sounds like, or stakeholders in this process. I mean, that's really the first part of this process that we have before us, which is engaging stakeholders, people like on the Board of Aldermen, people who will have to ultimately make these decisions. I mean, I would hate for us to not do something that begins to engage and answer the questions that we've been asking that you're not answering about what's it going to take, what do they want to see, all the members of the board want to see, what are their interests? I mean, I think that's part of what this study was supposed to do, is engage those people whose voices you're claiming aren't being heard. I think we want to hear them. But I mean, if we're not going to do this scope of work, that's fine. But we need to do something that does engage people who, at this point, you've told us they feel disaffected, they don't feel like they're having their voice in this process, they feel like this process is being made outside of the scope of their input, all of that, that's fine.
but we still need to have a conversation about then what is the way forward, because just tabling it or we'll make a decision about something years down the road. I mean, every day communities in St. Louis County, hundreds of thousands of African Americans in the region who also don't have input currently under the current structure in that airport are affected by that airport and deserve to have a voice as well. And those of us who live around the airport are seriously affected by the airport every day, 40 years of my life, and we deserve to have more than just one person on this regional commission, which I don't know how much real authority it has to do to clean up or coordinate with any of those communities surrounding us. We need to have those conversations. They've been talking about this since I was a kid. So if we're not going to do this, I understand, but let's talk about what we are going to do instead of pushing it down the road.
I think therein lies the challenge. I don't think we've done that basic work yet, right? And we're talking about doing a study that we have no idea the cost, we have no idea where we're headed. None of those things have been laid out, right? If the major issue for you and your constituency is more, you know, a bigger seat at the table, some of those things are going to require charter change. Some of the things that we may discuss today may require a charter change in the city of St. Louis to achieve those things, right? So we have to look, this summer I'm going to ride my motorcycle out to Baltimore with my son. We're planning that trip right now. But we know our destination, we're going to know our costs and everything before we leave, we're going to know our stuff. And here today, we have no information in front of us to make an informed decision, right? And to what end, right? We don't even have solidly a scope of work that we can really rely on.
I think a lot of people get frustrated, though, if there is a defined end. I mean, I think this isn't that. This isn't the way I saw this scope was this was an exploration of where we could go, as opposed to what people do get frustrated with is saying, here's the end, now I'm going to justify it or I'm going to find a way to.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that, okay, this is to achieve just this one point, right? But what are we supposed to inform through this? And what, with that information, what decision can lead us to? Those things will allow the staff to create a true scope, right? Right now, we're told, oh, just take us somewhere. And where?
I look at it as we don't know what we don't know. Right. I'd like them to help us.
Okay. Now, is there anyone else?
Just a point of clarity and a point of order.
Yes.
First of all, I think what I've heard here thus far is that we all have total consensus in the fact that we all agree that the asset of Lambert is the city of St. Louis' asset. We have consensus on that. No one can deny it. We have also consensus on the fact that that city-owned asset is a regional resource. I don't think there's anybody denying that. So that platform is the platform from which we need to start. And I think it will be, and regardless of what happens, but and then the point of order, Mr. Chair, is Jones, mm-hmm. Mayor Jones still has a question on the floor.
Yeah.
But I don't think it
matters. The question is, are we going to vote on that, or is there going to be a substitute motion just to approve or disapprove what's before us? But did you have another question about that?
I guess, could Mayor Jones, could you clarify your...
My motion is to table the issue as of right now.
Yeah, I guess my only concern is I'd be glad to table it if you think that then we can reach some accommodation. But if we're going to just table it and everybody's going to, you know, continue to feel about it the way they do today, we might as well vote on it.
I don't think that that's the way we have, Mr. Chairman. I think that in times when I've had, you know, these kind of issues before me, you generally do not do
you
yourself.
Tell me there's a chance, I'm gonna support the there's no chance that we're ever gonna do anything that will help the rest of us in the region understand better what's going on.
Hopefully you know by what I've done in the past and the way I've operated in the past and many times we've had engagement, I am not one to ever have a closed door or closed eye. I think that anything we can do to not just make the air, we have other major issues, right, that we have to address at the same time. I think that all of those things are worth it. If this moves today, I just want to be clear that problems lie ahead. I also want to be clear that it complicates support from the Board of Aldermen and members of city government immensely. And I'm telling you, moving forward, I won't be able to take forth that argument on your behalf.
Do you understand? You know about the federal rule that was passed about 3 years ago?
Yes.
Here's a federal rule. I've got a copy if anyone wants to read it.
Yeah.
It's a policy by the FAA. Excuse me, it's not a rule, it's a policy. Oh. But it basically says you can't change governance without the consent of who's governing it now. Okay?
I know.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I hope that will reassure you. There's, you know, whatever comes out of this, it's still, we're going to do a study and hopefully convince you that there's something in it for the city as well as everybody else to maybe do something different.
That's
maybe,
what,
and maybe not.
Yeah,
can I call a question?
I'm not. That is not my issue.
Okay.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, this gets tabled. Is there a plan to take it off? And what do you want staff to do in the meantime?
That's not part of his motion.
Let's go first. Why?
I don't understand the reasoning why a city would not want to have more aid in helping them make decisions.
Yeah.
This isn't about anybody's color or anybody's ethnicity. It's about helping a whole region. I don't know why there's concern on the city not getting something that is going to benefit them, and in turn benefit everybody else.
So let's go ahead. We're going to bring this to vote. Let me just say one last thing, and that is just some perspective for the people from the city. Okay, this is the second time I've been involved in this debate, and it came up two times before when you and I were in junior high.
Yeah, okay.
And every time, the first time was when we were going to move to Illinois, and the next time was down the convention center, and the third time was W1W. And what prompted all this today was the privatization issue. We all knew that, okay? And I've never maybe publicly thanked the city. Back in 2003, after the Senate did an interim committee, the city agreed to allow Mr. Kern and Dr. Page and myself to appoint somebody to that airport commission. I have not complained about the airport since. We had somebody there at all the meetings. If something was going on, we knew about it, and we had a complaint, we could bring it to that group. And I was happy with that. But when this privatization came up, I started asking my person on that board what's going on, and they didn't know any more about what was going on than anybody else in the region. Okay? And that's when, you know, at least I start thinking, we need to have a public discussion on this. We need to have some transparency. You know, I agree, and I applaud the mayor making a really tough decision to basically table that issue for a while until everybody had a chance to find out what's really going on, what are the options. So that's all I'm asking for here. And I'm certainly willing to, you know, I do not feel badly if my position is not accepted by this group, but it's going to be up to you all, so why don't we go ahead and I'll go ahead and call for a vote.
Point of clarification, can you restate the vote?
Huh?
Can you restate the motion to vote?
Motion is table.
Motion is table.
Is this a question called and there's tabling? Okay, so no, voting on the
motion is by Mr. Jones to table. It's been seconded.
Okay.
Assume there's no further discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say no.
Yeah.
No. The ayes appear to have it. Does anybody want a roll call vote?
Yes.
Okay. Hmm? You want a roll call vote? Okay, would you call a roll, please?
Delphine.
No.
Prinsler.
No.
Corson.
Aye.
Rinker.
No.
Easter.
Aye.
Elmore.
Aye.
Gannon.
Aye.
Geisman.
Aye.
Grogan.
Aye.
Jones.
Yes.
Hearn.
Aye.
Lager.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Marquardt.
Aye.
Mosley.
Aye.
Knowles.
No.
Page.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Simmons.
Aye.
Walter.
No.
White.
No.
Sorry. White.
No.
Williams.
No.
15 ayes. Seven noes.
The ayes have it, the matter is tabled, and let's move now to the order of business.
Mr. Tim, I'd like to work with you to set up a briefing on this whole airport and all of the studies and stuff.
Great.
With all of the decisions.
That's great. Okay, next item, Josh.
I thought this request to add five new projects to the transportation improvement program. Monroe County and MoDOT request to add one new project. Staff recommends the TIP connected 2045 and related air quality conformity information be revised to add seven new projects.
Are there any questions? Any comments? Thank you, Josh. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Second, the motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Any other business to bring before us? Yes, sir.
Just want to mention that Richard Collin passed away in the last month.
That's a moment.
He was a longtime member of this board. He was a good listener, spoke what he needed to. He very strongly believed in regionalism, cared a lot about the whole community, and so we should appreciate and model his work in our own decisions that we make.
Did you say Kevin?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he passed away. We'd send an email out to the board, so you may have been lost. I typically don't send many, but I've been.
He can always sit right next.
No.
No, he's been involved in public affairs for a long time, and we'll all miss his maturity in some of the issues. Okay, all right, anything, any other announcements? Motion to adjourn?
Thank each and every one of the members for being so gracious with their time today.
Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Aye.